All right, well, let's get to today's word. If you have your Bibles with you, you can already open to John chapter 8. And the Lord's been really speaking to me about this topic this week, you know, that we need help in life. Who needs help in life? All right, we all need help in life, right? There's been many occasions throughout my life that I've received help from others. You know, there's a saying that says, you'll never see a baby walk out of the hospital on their own two feet. So literally, from the day we are born, we need help, right? Right? Okay, good. And God's worked through many people during my life to provide help, and I'm so grateful for that. But there's some kind of help that can only come directly from the Lord. And the most crucial help we need at times comes directly from the Lord. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. And this morning, I want to specifically talk about how Jesus helps us with our shame and guilt. With our shame and guilt. You know, we all carry shame and guilt throughout our lifetime. And it's difficult to deal with. Especially when we've gone through such difficulties or we've done something bad or terrible that we're just burdened with and we can't get over it. And that's where Jesus Christ can help us like no one else can. And as I mentioned this morning, scripture comes from John chapter 8. And first point, Jesus can take away our deepest shame. So let's read John 8 and 1 to 4 to start off with. And we'll continue from there. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. She was caught in the act. No way around it. She was caught. And this woman was caught big time. And there's nothing that she could do about it. She couldn't explain it away. And, you know, we can be thankful that perhaps we've never been dragged through the streets for our sins and placed in front of people and shamed in such a way. And perhaps we have. Perhaps we've gone through something similar as this woman has. But the good news is Jesus can sweep that shame away. Pastor Rick Warren reminds us that we must let God remove our guilt. Warren said, nothing destroys a soul faster than guilt. Who's experienced that? Where just guilt and shame just chip away at our soul and bring us down. Psalm 38, 4 and 6, King David wrote, For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning. King David was overcome with shame and guilt for his sin, for his wrongdoing. To think that a Bible hero like King David would carry such shame over his sins puts it into perspective for us. That whoever person may be, no matter what station they hold in life, sin brings guilt and shame to every person. The two problems with shame and guilt. First, we all have plenty of reasons to feel shame and guilt. The fact is, we're all imperfect. We make mistakes. And by nature, we carry guilt in our lives. And two, we can't get away from it. It's in our mind. It's in our thoughts. Even if we move away or try to go to a new location to escape it, the guilty conscience is with us. Proverbs 20:27 says, The spirit of man is a lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. In other words, the Lord has given us a mind and a conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves. We all carry shame and guilt, so the question is, how do we get rid of shame? How do we deal with the guilt and shame in our life? And there's a lot of options, many of them not good. You can deny it, pretend it doesn't exist, kind of bury it. But the fact is, it's still alive and it resurrects itself. And just about the time you think you've buried it for good, the feeling comes back in your mind and in your thoughts. Denying guilt does not relieve guilt. And church, this is especially true in the light of God's holiness. There's a saying that goes, even the dirtiest floor looks clean in the dark. But when we see our lives in the light of God's spotless perfection, His holiness, we realize that even our best days are stained by sin. And the Word says our best works are like filthy rags before God. If we all admit it, just like King David, shame belongs to all of us. But just like Jesus does here with this woman, Jesus Christ can overcome our shame, and He has done that. He can sweep our shame away. Second, He can save us from our sins. This scripture is much more about than just shame. Some of the worst sinners have no shame whatsoever. At least right now they may not. The shameless scribes and Pharisees we just read about bring this poor woman before Jesus reminds us of this truth. So let's continue with verses 3-9. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commands us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charges to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Notice that these scribes and Pharisees needed to be saved just as much as the poor woman at their feet. This is one of the most important truths in this story. The greatest news is that Jesus can save us from any and all sins. Jesus can save us from immorality, and He can save us from religious sin as well, like the spiritual pride and the lack of mercy we see in this woman's accusers. How does the Lord save us from our sins? One key is that He leads us to personal conviction. You know, that's what shame and guilt does in our lives. It leads us to personal conviction by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this woman was under the strongest possible conviction, I believe. She had been caught red-handed in adultery. And the Old Testament law says that she deserves to die by stoning. But the truth is, all of us deserve eternal death. It's easy for these religious leaders to point their fingers at this woman and condemn her. But there's an old saying that goes, when you point your finger at someone, there's three fingers pointing back at yourself. The truth is that we all deserve death for our sins. That's what the Bible says in Romans 6:23 when it says, "The wages of sin is death." You see, God pays us for our sins with death. You see, even breaking one commandment makes us guilty of breaking the entire law. And these hard-hearted men needed to see that they were just as guilty as this woman at their feet. So in these verses, Jesus led them to conviction. We see the Lord at work starting in verse 6, where Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground. Now, we don't know what He wrote. Some scholars suggest that Jesus simply wrote, "Where is the man?" The Pharisees surely didn't seem too concerned about the guilty party member missing. They just wanted to use this woman as a tool to trap and attack Jesus Christ. But what did Jesus write? Something he began to write the sins of the Pharisees and scribes who were there to stone that woman. And what a shock that would have been to them. You know, Jesus could have done that. He could have written every single sin every one of them were guilty of. Because he knows every dark part of our heart, every shameful deed we have ever done. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is God. No wonder Jesus was able to rise up in verse 7 and say, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." It's at that moment they came under conviction, dropped their rocks, and walked away. You know, the only one who had the right to throw a stone that day never even picked one up. And he can save us just as surely as he saved this woman in John 8. So not only must we have personal conviction for our sins, but there also had to be a cross. We don't see the cross mentioned in these verses, of course, because Jesus had not yet been crucified and raised from the dead. But the cross is both at the heart of the Bible and at the heart of our salvation. Do you know why Jesus had to suffer and die on the cross? Jesus Christ died on the cross to take the punishment for all of our sins that we deserve. He paid for the wages of sin, which is death. And 3 days later, he rose again to give eternal life to all who will believe in him. That is wonderful, awesome news. There is only one solution to your guilt. You've got to give it to God. He's the only one who can remove it. Romans 3:23-24 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Amen. The New Living Translation says it this way: "All have sinned, all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet now God in his gracious kindness declares us not guilty. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sins." You see, the most basic truth of Christianity is that Jesus Christ has already paid for all of your sins. Everything you've ever done wrong has already been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything you've already committed, the stuff you're going to do later, all of the sins, mistakes, regrets in your future have already been paid for. You just need to ask God to forgive you of your sin and trust what Jesus did for you on the cross. He already paid for all of your sins. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's how your guilt will be removed. Your shame will be gone. And there's no other way. We cannot earn forgiveness and salvation through our good works. We cannot buy it with our deeds or actions. We cannot earn it. It's just based on what Jesus did on the cross for all of mankind. I don't know what you've done, but it doesn't matter because you're forgiven. It's not based on how bad you've been, but on how good God is. Amen? What matters is not what you've done, but what Jesus Christ has already done for you. How do you get forgiveness from God? Confession, repentance, and putting your faith in Jesus Christ. You don't have to beg God. You don't have to bribe God. You don't have to bargain with God. You just believe. Trust. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Guys, salvation is a free gift of God through His grace that we receive through faith in Jesus Christ. But you may say, but Pastor, I've asked God to forgive me many times and I still feel guilty. No matter how many times you ask, you say, I still feel guilty. That means you don't understand God's forgiveness. How it's immediate, free, complete, unconditional. How it wipes out every transgression. It wipes out the guilt and shame the first time you ask. If you feel guilty about a sin you've already confessed to God, you still feel guilty about it. That guilt is not from God, but from the devil. He's the accuser. He wants you to feel bad, to tear you down, to be completely uptight about it, to lose your focus on Christ. You know, before you commit a sin, Satan minimizes the sin, saying, hey, it's no big deal. But then after you commit the sin, what happens? He says that, man, this sin is too big. God can never forgive you for this. It's a tactic he uses to tear us down, an attempt to bring us down out of Christ. But we know our sins are forgiven, so we don't dwell on it, and we keep our eyes on Christ. God forgives. Colossians 2:13 to 14 says, and you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, but God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He has forgiven all your sins, guys. He has utterly wiped out the evidence of broken commandments which always hung over our hearts and completely canceling it, nailing it to the cross. God's not going to bring it up again. He says he completely annulled it, canceled it. That means it's been paid for, guys. When you pay a speeding fine, a ticket, do you still worry over it after it's been paid? No. The moment you paid that fine, you stop sweating about it, right? That's why Jesus on the cross, he said, it is finished. I've paid for your sins. The debt has been paid fully, completely, forever. And he paid that fine with his precious blood. That cleanses us of all sin and shame and guilt. And God says to us, you are free from the death sentence. Such good news that we don't have to wallow in our shame and guilt ever again. Romans 8, verses 1 to 12 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Amen. It's amazing how God has organized these things. We don't fully comprehend all these mysteries, but, you know, when we look at creation and how, you know, all the physical creation of us and how it works and how the stars are aligned and, you know, the earth is perfectly tilted and the distance from the sun that there's life and the math behind all creation and how it works. There's laws there, you know, in the physical. The same way there is laws in the spiritual that the Lord has set into place. And he gives us this in his word that we are set free from sin and death in the spiritual realm, according to how he has set it to work. So we can trust completely in his ways. So why keep beating yourself up over something God is not beating you up over? If you put your faith in Christ, God's not going to condemn you because all your punishment was already taken away by Jesus Christ And he voluntarily took it because he loves you unconditionally. He loves you. God loves you no matter what. So, and that's why he paid the penalty, so you wouldn't have to. Jesus was nailed to the cross for our sins so that we wouldn't have to suffer for them forever. Let God remove your guilt, guys, your shame. Nobody can help us like Jesus Christ can. He can save us from our sins, and he has promised to stay with us forever. Going back to John 8, think about how alone this woman must have felt in this desperate situation. Her partner in crime was long gone. The man she committed adultery with, nowhere to be seen or heard of. Her family was nowhere to be found. There wasn't a friend in sight except for one, and we see him in John 8, 9. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. You may feel alone right now, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ is your closest friend. He will never leave you. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he will never leave you. He will never be alone. That's why Hebrews 13, 5, Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The original Greek word for never has five negatives compounded together. And the way the ancient Greek language works, the negatives aren't just added together, they are multiplied together. So instead of Jesus saying, I will never leave you or forsake you, the full meaning would be something like this: I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave you or forsake you. It's just awesome that the living God of the universe has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Praise the Lord. Jesus stays with us forever. And Jesus can send our lives in a new direction. And this is a big one, guys. Jesus sends our life in a new direction. And that's what the Lord did with this woman in verses 10 to 11 in John 8. It says, Jesus stood up and said to her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Go and sin no more. This surely is a command, but it's much more than that. It's not just an order. It's a brand new opportunity. Because Jesus has the power to make it possible. Jesus gives us a new direction in life, a new future, a brand new start. I'm not saying that you'll be perfect. None of us are. Not until we reach the gates of heaven and new creation where there is no more sin. But with Jesus Christ right now, today, we can start heading in the direction of perfection. It's a new beginning. And God promises that one day we will make it. He will finish that work that he has started in us. But we can't do it without Jesus. Christian author and pastor Eddie Snipes once wrote, Any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes life to swim against the strong current of the world we live in. Only the hand of God holding me up will make it possible to fulfill my purpose in this life. You see, the first step is a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Without a relationship with him, you are struggling with your own strength, by your own strength. You see, God's desire is to transform us from the inside out. When we surrender our life to Christ, the Bible tells us that God literally puts his Holy Spirit inside us, and we're born again spiritually as a new creation. God calls me to go where I don't have the strength to go, do what I cannot do, and be what I cannot be on my own strength. You see, we're called to be like our Heavenly Father. Ephesians 5:1 says we are to be imitators of God as his beloved children. So God's goodness is far beyond our own ability, so that we can't make it with our own strength. But with Jesus, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can. So Jesus Christ can send our lives in a brand new direction, and that's what he wants to do. So if you're here today and you're feeling trapped or stuck in life, in your own failures, faults, feeling shameful and guilt, I got wonderful news for you. Jesus can take that away and send your life in a new direction. Today can be a new beginning for you. How do I know this? Because he's done it in my own life, guys. And I've seen it in countless other lives as well. Jesus is in the transformation business. Famous preacher Stephen Olford, who Billy Graham called the man who most influenced my ministry, grew up as a son of a missionary in Africa. But Stephen did not want to go through the trials and tribulations of a missionary. Then, after being mistreated by some Christians in England, Stephen rebelled against God. He studied to become an engineer, developed a new kind of carburetor, and got into racing motorcycles. Pretty exciting life, right? Racing motorcycles. But do you know what happened to Stephen? He was terribly injured in a motorcycle wreck and was given just 2 weeks to live. Still rebelling against God, Stephen refused to see the pastors who came to visit him. But then he received a letter from his father. This letter had been mailed a long time before the accident, but the Lord got it to Stephen at just the right moment. And the letter included this powerful message from Stephen's father. It said, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." God used that message to touch Stephen's heart, and he prayed, "Lord, if you heal my body, I will serve you anywhere, anytime, and at any cost." And guess what happened? God healed Stephen. And his life was greatly used by God because he heard the Lord speak through that letter from his father. And he accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And Jesus sent his life in a brand new direction. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's what he's done for you and me, a new beginning, with a great life serving the Lord. So nobody can help us like Jesus Christ. Let him sweep away your shame and guilt. Let him save you from your sins. Trust him to stay with you forever. And let him send your life in a brand new direction. That is the wonderful news of the gospel that we carry, that we're messengers of, that this world needs to hear. And we need to be examples of that as well as we live through our life. Amen? So let's pray together. Can you stand with me, please? Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can come before you, your mighty throne of grace, of mercy, of salvation. And we put our trust in no other name than the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you see our past, our present, our future. There is nothing that we can hide from your eternal eyes that are all-knowing, all-seeing. And Lord, thank you, Lord, that you convict us of our sins by the power of the Holy Spirit and through your word, and that we can freely confess them before you, even today, Lord, and ask for forgiveness, and know that we, as we repent from our sins, they are washed away by the eternal cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that you put a Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit in us. And Lord, if there's anybody here carrying shame and guilt, Lord, let your word, the power of the Holy Spirit, remind them that it has been paid for. It is finished. The debt has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. That the enemy cannot accuse us of those sins anymore, of our past, of our wrongdoings, that we don't have to dwell on them, and we can turn our eyes to you, Jesus, in a new beginning in you, transformed. Hallelujah. And Lord, help us to be messengers of this great and wonderful gospel to this dark world that needs it. Anoint us by the power of the Holy Spirit to preach boldly, to testify in power and truth about what you have done in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with us today, tomorrow, and forever, that you will never leave us as you have promised. Lord, I just bless all these people, every single man, woman, and child, youth in this church, in this building, Lord. I just bless them in your name, Jesus. And may your blood be over them, upon them, sheltering them, protecting them as we go in this life, Lord. Make our path straight. Bless us. Protect us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.